Okay, good morning, members. Welcome back. So I'm going to call Human Services, Finance, and Policy to order. Ms. Hansen, can you please take the role? The chair is present.
Good morning, everyone. Schultz, present. Vice Chair Bonner?
Present.
Lead Albright?
Good morning.
Good morning. Representative Bolden?
Present.
Representative Buerkle?
Buerkle, present.
Representative Fisher?
Fisher, present.
Representative Frederick? Representative Hansen? Representative Keel? I know she's here. Representative Liebling?
Liebling, present.
Thank you. Representative Mueller?
Present.
Representative Knorr?
Present.
Representative Novotny?
Novotny, present.
Good morning. Representative Pearson?
Pearson, present.
Representative Pinto?
Present.
Representative Rasmussen?
Rasmussen, present.
Thank you. Representative Robbins?
Present.
Representative Sandel? And Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, present.
Thank you, sir. We have a quorum, Chair Schultz.
Thank you, Ms. Hansen. We have a quorum. Let's see. Representative Albright, would you like to move the minutes from March 31st?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I would move those minutes. Thank you.
Are there any corrections to the minutes? Not seeing any. All those in favor of moving the minutes from March 31st, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, the motion prevails and the minutes are approved. Okay, today, members, yesterday we had a joint hearing with Health Finance and Chair Liebling, and we walked through the spreadsheet. Today, we are going to walk through the language of the bill, and nonpartisan staff will be doing that. I want to thank them again. This was an incredible bill. I'm going to show you the heft. This is 441 pages on just the human services side. I know that Senator Abler was bragging about the size of his bill, and I think his was maybe 100 pages if you include all the amendments. So we're doing incredible work for this state. I want to thank all of you for working on your bills to provide the services for those who need those services across the state. You know, I've been committed to making sure that we're allocating appropriate money and creating services to help people who are the most vulnerable, our older adults and people with disabilities, helping those who care for those individuals, our caring professionals. And I know that it's also helping people who love those individuals. And so really what the work we do really touches on everyone in the state. And I just want to thank everyone for doing that. And I hope the next person who has the gavel for this committee will also be committed to making sure we're improving services and improving the lives of people across the state and really prioritizing where there are the greatest needs for individuals. So we're going to walk through that, through the bill today, and then we're going to take amendments tomorrow. I'm sorry, we're going to take an amendment tomorrow and testimony. So just be aware that the amendment deadline is 3 o'clock today, and there will be a substantial author's amendment. Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just housekeeping, for the purpose of the walkthrough, would you prefer that we hold questions until we complete an article or two? Or raise hand as we come to a point of question, just so we maximize the usage of our time.
I'm not sure how long this is going to take. We have a hard stop at noon because we have floor session at 12:10 today. And so I think what I would prefer to do is walk through each article and maybe take one or two questions. They should be short, technical in nature, no comments. And then if you can just write down your questions, and we can take those again tomorrow if we run out of time. Does that sound reasonable, Representative Albright?
That sounds great. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. So just raise your hand if you have a technical correction or you misheard our House research staff in a walkthrough. Otherwise, save your commentary for tomorrow and your more detailed questions for tomorrow. And we'll walk through each article first. So let's see. We first have Danielle Punelli with us, and both Danielle Punelli, Sarah Slenderman, Elizabeth Clarkvist and Randy Chun have done incredible work again this year. We asked them to do so much in so limited time, so I really appreciate everything that our nonpartisan research staff have done on this incredible bill again this year. So Ms. Pinelli, I'll hand it over to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be starting off the walkthrough of House File 4579, the Delete All Amendment. The first article, Article 1, is the Community Supports and Behavioral Health Policy article. And this article just contains one bill. It's House File 3471, the DHS Community Supports and Behavioral Health Policy Bill. If there aren't any questions on that article, I can move on to Article 2, which is the Community Supports article. The first grouping of sections.
Madam Chair.
I'm sorry, Representative Albright.
Thank you. And Ms. Pinelli, and for all the additionals, if you could just reference the page number that you're moving to with the next article. For me, anyway, that would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Sure. Let me pull it up quick.
Do you want to, Ms. Pinelli, do you want to share your screen? Do you want to do that so members can follow along or?
Madam Chair, I was working off of a bill list that Ms. Sunderman and I have. I'm also pulling up the DE amendment so I can give page numbers as we go through.
Okay. Chair Liebling?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I was just gonna say, I think that although sometimes that would be helpful, I think in this case it might be more confusing. And I don't know if members have the ability to pull up the bill on virtually on their computers. I know sometimes it's difficult to do Zoom and that, but I think that might be better. And just, I don't know, everyone has their own style of taking in information, but I think that in this case, because there's so much text, it would just be really awkward to be looking at it.
Thank you, Charlie. I was referring to maybe some sort of, sometimes we have a summary list of the sections. If you wanted to share that, Ms. Pinelli, it's okay. I have the bill in front of me. I hope members have it electronically. I printed it. I've been looking at it for a long time, so I'm more familiar than maybe the public. And I know members probably each also have their bill briefs. That could be useful to evaluate, to look at as well. Ms. Pinelli.
So, Madam Chair, Article 2, Community Supports, for members that are following along with the amendment language, that starts on page 52. The first grouping of sections in that article are from House File 2925, sections 1, 3, 14, 15, 20, 33, 39, and 40 are all relating to expanding access to shared services under home and community-based services. And it also expands service termination protections under Chapter 245D, which relates to the home and community-based service standards, and then also appeals related to those service terminations. The next grouping of sections is from House File 4307 as amended, which was the governor's budget bill. Sections 2, 18, 35, and 41 are related to the governor's proposal on workforce revitalization. Sections 4 to 7 are from House File 3524, which modifies home care services by adding care coordination and care evaluation services. Sections 8 to 11 are from House File 4085, which allows MA reimbursement for a PCA to drive and accompany the PCA recipient. Sections 12, 16, and 17 are from House File 3199. This increases hourly limits on CFS services provided by parents of minor children and spouses, and also provides for CDCS services to be provided by parents of a minor child and spouse, and includes the same hourly limits. Sections 13 to 15 and 22 to 34 are from House File 3100, which modifies the disability waiver rate system. It requires future inflationary adjustments to be based on more current data, and requires the competitive workforce factor to be updated periodically. And it modifies the payment rate calculations for various services to adjust supervisory staff wage rates by the competitive workforce factor. Section 19 is from House File 780. It modifies the moratorium exceptions on the development of housing support beds. And I believe this is one of the pieces that Mr. Berg mentioned yesterday, where the language currently doesn't match the spreadsheet. So there will be an amendment to fix that. Section 21 is from House File 3157, which modifies the base wage index calculation for employment exploration services staff under the disability waiver rate system. Section 36 is from House File 338. It establishes a direct care service core pilot project. Section 37 is from House File 3919. This directs the Commissioner of Human Services to develop recommendations to establish life sharing services as a covered MA waiver service. Section 38 is from House File 3896. It establishes a task force on disability services accessibility, establishes pilot projects to reduce accessibility barriers in disability services, and requires a report to the legislature. And then finally, Section 42 is a modified version of House File 740. It requires a study of MA payment rates for intermediate care facilities for persons with developmental disabilities. And that brings us to the end of Article 2.
Questions on Article 2, members? No questions. Okay, Article 3 is behavioral health.
Madam Chair, Ms. Sunderman will be taking over.
Thank you, Ms. Pinelli. Ms. Sunderman.
Madam Chair and members, Sarah Sunderman from House Research. I'll be doing Article 3, behavioral health. This article starts on page 112 of the Delete Everything Amendment, just to orient you. So sections 1 to 5, 19 to 21, 24 to 54, 56 to 57, 78 to 85, and 94 are all from the governor's budget bill, House File 4307, as amended. And this is the governor's proposal related to substance use disorder direct access implementation and the 1115 demonstration compliance. There are a lot of sections and they're quite technical, but I think any detailed questions can probably go to DHS on that. A lot of it is cross-reference changes related to the direct access change. The next section, section 6, this is also from the governor's bill. This is a governor's proposal for children's mental health community of practice. Section 7 and then also section 64 to 65 are from House File 3274, the first division engrossment. These are children's residential treatment and psychiatric residential treatment facilities requirement changes. going to sections 8 and 9, and then also 18, 55, and 90. This is from House File 4021, the First Division Engrossment, and there are two additional sections that are added related to this from DHS Technical Assistance. This is the bill establishing children's residential crisis stabilization requirements. Section 10 actually has provisions from two different bills. First is House File 1929, the First Division Engrossment. This is children's mental health grants, including interventions for emerging or first episode of mood disorder and a public awareness campaign. Section 10 also includes provision related to children's mental health respite care services. That's a governor's proposal, as does Section 11. Moving to Section 12, this is from House File 3418, the first engrossment, and this is the codifying the cultural and ethnic minority infrastructure grant program. Section 13 is a governor's proposal. This is codifying the emerging mood disorder grant program. Section 14 is also a governor's proposal, and that is codifying the first episode of psychosis grant program. Section 15, also a governor's proposal. This removes some requirements for tribal requests for proposals for federal block grants. Section 16, also a governor's proposal. This is projects for assistance in transition from homelessness, otherwise known as PATH, for people with serious mental illness and substance use disorder. Section 17 is also a governor's proposal. This is housing with supports for behavioral health program, establishing that program. Sections 22 and 63 relate to the governor's proposal for opioid treatment programs rate and program integrity. Section 23, it's from House File 2733 as amended. This is the intensive treatment services, the ERTS treatment services locked facility requirements. Sections 58 to 61 are the governor's proposal. This is changes to ORAC, the Opiate Epidemic Response Advisory Council. It adds ORAC duties and provisions related to municipality direct payments and projects funded by settlement monies. Also increases the number of members, adding tribal and urban American Indian representatives to the council, and also modifies appointment requirements and requires certain grant awards to be focused on BIPOC communities. Section 62, this is from House File 3737. This was amended based on some DHS technical assistance. This is the behavioral health homes modification with a single statewide rate. Skipping to Section 66, this is a governor's proposal. This is psychiatric residential treatment facility startup grants. Sections 67 to 73, also governor's proposal. This is expanding intensive treatment services in foster care to include children who are residing with legal guardians but who are at risk of out-of-home placement. So that's several sections related to expansion of that service. Section 74 to 76, also a governor's proposal. This is intensive non-residential rehabilitative mental health services, technical changes, and state plan compliance. Section 77 is a governor's proposal. This is the EIDBI expanding provider qualifications to allow individuals certified by a tribal nation to meet certain requirements to provide the services. Skipping to Section 86, this is a governor's proposal that clarifies eligibility for the Transition to Community Initiative and removes an additional eligibility requirement. Section 87, this is a governor's proposal adding children's mobile crisis services to the grant that expands mobile crisis services and increases the base appropriation amounts. Section 88 the governor's proposal. This expands psychiatric residential treatment facility and child and adolescent mobile transition units to include adults and children in need of transition support services. Section 89 is the governor's proposal that increases adult day treatment rates by 50%. Section 90, this is related to House File 4021, the Children's Residential Crisis Stabilization. This was from DHS Technical Assistance. This is a direction to the commissioner to update Behavioral Health Fund room and board rate schedule for those services and admissions.
Thank you, Ms. Sunderman.
Sorry, Madam Chair, there are
four
more sections, Section 91 is a governor's proposal. That's a direction to make recommendations on updated behavioral health fund allocations to local agencies and submit recommendations to the legislature. Section 92 is a governor's proposal requiring a payment methodology revision for medication-assisted therapy services. Section 93 is a governor's proposal that is a revisor instruction to change the terms medication-assisted treatment and therapy to a more updated term. And finally, Section 94 is a governor's proposal, and that repeals statutes and rules related to the first item that I mentioned, the SUD direct access and 1115 demonstration compliance. So that just repeals things that we don't need anymore. And I would turn it over to Ms. Pinelli for the next article.
Thank you, Ms. Sunderman. Article 4 is continuing care for older adults policy. Ms. Pinelli.
Madam Chair, Article 4 is a policy article. The first grouping of sections, which is most of this article. First, let me pull up. Article 4 in the DE amendment begins on page 193. And the first grouping of sections 1 to 11, and then 13 to 31, come from the Department of Human Services Continuing Care Policy Bill. And then section 12 comes from a delete all amendment to House File 3242. It modifies the definition of fringe benefit costs in the chapter of statutes governing nursing facilities. And that's everything in Article 4.
Hey, members, any questions from Article 4? Okay, Article 5 is continuing care for older adults. Ms. Pinelli?
Madam Chair, Article 5, continuing care for older adults.
Page 207.
Begins on page 207. And the first grouping of sections 1 to 9, 25, and 26, come from House File 3405. This is the bill that establishes a Nursing Home Workforce Standards Board. It requires the board to adopt rules establishing minimum nursing home employment standards for nursing home workers. Certifies worker organizations to provide training to nursing home workers and establishes curriculum requirements for training. It also authorizes the Commissioner of Labor and Industry to investigate violations and enforce the minimum nursing home employment standards. And it authorizes civil actions by nursing home workers. Sections 10 to 23 and 27 are from House File 4447. These sections modify elderly waiver payment rates by increasing the percentage of the rate that is based on the new rate methodology and requiring periodic inflationary adjustments and other rate changes throughout, and then it aligns the CDCS monthly budgets under elderly waiver and the alternative care program with budgets for traditional services. Section 24 is from House File 2283. That section provides for initial PACE implementation funding. And that completes Article 5.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Pinelli. Any questions on Article 5? Not seeing any. Article 6 is Child and Vulnerable Adult Protection Policy, and this begins on page 235, members. Ms. Sunderman.
Madam Chair, members, Article 6, as the Chair said, is vulnerable Child and Vulnerable Adult Protection Policy. Sections 1 to 23 are from House File 3380, the first engrossment, which was the DHS Child Welfare Policy Bill. This is a lot of clarifying changes and changes related to relative and kin search and placement. Sections 24 to 27 are from House File 3971, as amended. This relates to child maltreatment, face-to-face contact, interviews, and family assessment documentation, and provides immunity for minors in certain circumstances. And sections 28 to 40 are all from House File 1432, the second engrossment, as amended. This was the DHS Vulnerable Adult Protection Policy Bill. And that concludes Article 6.
Thank you, Ms. Sunderman. Any questions on Article 6? You guys are really quiet today. Okay, Article 7, not seeing any questions. Article 7 starts on page 304, and that's child protection. Ms. Sunderman?
Right. Article 7, sections 1 to 3 and sections 5 and 7 are from House File 3615 as amended. I believe this was amended in the Human Services Committee with a DE amendment. And this gets rid of the delinquency and out-of-home placement cost of care examination or treatment that would otherwise be paid by parents or by money attributable to the child. Sections 4, 6, and then 11 to 24 are all from House File 1943, which was a Representative Pinto bill from last year. This establishes a non-caregiver sex trafficking assessment and makes changes throughout relevant statutes related to that addition. Sections 8 to 10 are a governor's proposal. This is the foster care transition between ages 18 and 21 proposal and the child welfare support beyond 21. And section 25 relates to House File 3211, which was Representative Pinto's bill on federal cash assistance benefits for that are for a child that are used currently to pay for out-of-home placement costs. This is a direction to the commissioner to develop a plan for agencies to cease this practice. And it also requires counties to provide necessary data to the commissioner in order for the commissioner to make the plan. And that concludes Article 7.
Thank you, Ms. Sunderman. Any questions on Article 7? No questions? Okay, we'll move to Article 8. This is Economic Assistance Policy. It begins on page 321. Ms. Pinelli?
Madam Chair, Article 8 is Economic Assistance Policy. The first two sections are from House File 3259, which allows counties and tribes to contact infant participants by phone or in writing upon receipt of an incomplete household report form. And it also modifies public assistance program income inclusions. Section 3 is from House File 3269. It allows unemployment insurance information to be disseminated to local and state welfare agencies for monitoring eligibility of data subjects for public assistance. And sections 4 and 5 of Article 8 are from House File 4527, which instructs the reviser to renumber statutory sections in Chapter 256D related to food support. And that concludes Article 8.
Any questions on Article 8, members? No questions. Please proceed on Article 9, page 326. Ms. Pennelly.
Madam Chair and members, Article 9 is the economic assistance article. And the first grouping of sections are from House File 4307, the governor's budget bill. Sections 1 to 3, 5, 11 to 13, 15 to 23, 25 to 39, and 41 are from the governor's proposal, Stabilizing Working Minnesotans, which changes reporting requirements to a 6-month reporting requirements and also uses prospective budgeting instead of retrospective budgeting. Section 4 is from House File 611. This increases the gross income limit for SNAP. Sections 6 to 8 are from House File 4307, the governor's bill, and this is his proposal addressing deep poverty. Sections 9, 10, and 24 are from the governor's bill, and this is the proposal. These are the no-cost items related to addressing homelessness. Section 14 is also from the governor's bill, and this is the governor's proposal supporting transitions to stable housing. It's also a no-cost item. Section 28 is from House File 3844, and it modifies income inclusions for public assistance programs. And then finally, Section 40 is from House File 3377, which establishes a pilot project related to chosen family hosting to prevent youth homelessness. And that concludes Article 9.
Thank you, Ms. Pennelly. Any questions on Article 9, members? Not seeing any questions. We'll go to Article 10, which starts on page 350, direct care and treatment policy. Ms. Pennelly.
Madam Chair, Ms. Sunderman will be doing Article 10.
Ms. Sunderman.
Chair members, Article 10 is the direct care and treatment policy article. Contains provisions from one bill, so sections 1 to 5 are all from House File 3863, the DHS Direct Care and Treatment Policy Bill. And this makes a technical correction or a technical change, and then it also provides for voluntary transfer back to a secure treatment facility. And that concludes Article 10.
Thank you, Ms. Sunderman. Any questions on Article 10? Okay, we'll go to Article 11, which starts on page 355, preventing homelessness. Ms. Pennelly.
Madam Chair, preventing homelessness, Article 11, sections 1 and 8 are from House File 3599. This modifies a safe harbor provision and requires a sexual exploitation and trafficking study. Sections 2 and 3 are from House File 3200. This allows a homeless person or family to remain in transitional housing for up to 36 months. The current time limit is 24 months. Section 4 is from House File 3568. This modifies countable income under the housing support program. Sections 5 and 7 are from House File 3661. It modifies a provision in the Homeless Youth Act and requires a pregnant and parenting homeless youth study. Section 6 is from House File 4192. It extends the reporting deadline for the Task Force on Shelter. And section 9 is from House File 3090. This provides for emergency shelter facility grant funding. And that concludes Article 11.
Thank you, Ms. Pinelli. Any questions for Article 11? No? Okay, we'll proceed to Article 12, which starts on page 359. And this is DHS licensing and operations policy. Ms. Sunderman?
Madam Chair and members, Article 12 is...
Oh, just hold on one second, Ms. Sunderman. Representative Sandell, sorry, I didn't see your hand. You're muted.
Thank you, Chair Schultz. I have a question about Section 2. Does Section 2 also deal with or provide services directed at preventing sexual assault?
Are you referring to...
I'm sorry, Article 2. I'm sorry. I think it was Article 10, Section 2. Was it?
Article 10?
The article we
section
just,
2.
Just finished talking with. Was that 11 or? I'm
just
sorry.
Went through 11. Do you have it in front of you now, Representative Sandell? Can you be specific on the section and your question, please?
I'll just pass. I can't find it here on my screen. Sorry.
We'll come back to you. Just keep working on that. We'll come back to that, Representative Sandell.
Thank you.
Ms. Sunderman.
Madam Chair, members, Article 12 is DHS licensing and operations policy. This contains provisions from one bill. So sections 1 to 18 come from House File 4301. This was the DHS licensing and operations policy bill. It includes provisions related to immediate suspension, expedited hearings, DHS licensing suspensions, and then several provisions related to withdrawal management and SUD treatment program licensing. And that concludes Article 12.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Sunderman, we're gonna move to any questions on Article 12? Not seeing any questions, we'll move to Article 13, which starts on page 375. Ms. Sunderman.
Article 13 is the opioid settlement article. This contains provisions from one bill. Sections 1 to 11 are from House File 4265 as amended. This was Representative Olson's bill relating to it's implementing changes related to the opioid settlement and the related intrastate agreement. It has provisions related to the settlement proceed deposit and allocations, establishing accounts and fee modifications, and it also has provisions related to the claims release, so that prohibits units of local government from asserting claims that are released as part of the settlement agreement. And that concludes Article 13.
Okay, members, any questions from Article 13? Okay, we'll proceed to Article 14. These are the forecast adjustments that start on page 387.
Madam Chair, members, Article 14 is the last article that we'll go over today. So sections 1 and 2 are from House File 4307 as amended. That's the governor's budget. This just adjusts appropriations for fiscal years 22 and 23 to the Commissioner of Human Services for forecasted programs administered by DHS. And that concludes the walkthrough.
Okay, Representative Albright.
Madam Chair, and I'm just wondering, this is kind of just hand to hand here, but in Article 2, when you talk about sections 13 to 15 and 22 to 34 with regard to the modifications to the DWRS, I'm trying to find the notations on the spreadsheet where those would be observed.
We do not have our fiscal staff with us today. Representative Albright, but can you hold that question for tomorrow? And we will have our fiscal staff with us, and we can go through the spreadsheet as well with that question.
Certainly.
Thank you. Do you have other questions, Representative Albright?
Madam Chair, thank you for the work that you've done. I don't know if we're anticipating this is the wrap up to the walkthrough, but I too would like to thank the revisor's office and all of the folks that have spent inordinate amount of time, particularly you and Chair Liebling. We may from time to time disagree, sometimes robustly, on policy and or on finance, but I do sincerely appreciate the two chairs and the efforts that they've placed in this. And I look forward to moving the bill forward in a fashion that works for all of Minnesota.
Thank you, Representative Albright. I look forward to getting lots of support for our bill in the House and the Senate. So I hope all of our members can vote for it. It is really an amazing bill, and we're doing a lot of great work for Minnesotans, even with our limited budget target. And I just keep reminding members, this was a budget surplus, so we don't normally have a big spending bill like this. So we're very grateful that we can continue to meet more needs of Minnesotans through the budget surplus. And Representative Sandel, we'll come to your back to your question tomorrow. Is that okay?
That's just fine. Thank you very
much. Okay, that sounds good. Other members' comments or questions? Not seeing any. I just want to keep thanking our staff. I hope everyone here will thank our staff, nonpartisan and partisan staff, for all the great work they do for Minnesotans. They do so much behind the scenes that Minnesotans don't realize. We have incredible staff here in St. Paul at the Capitol, incredible staff at our agencies who do so much work every day in this space, and we are so, so very grateful for them. Like I said yesterday, please also thank your local public health officials, county officials, for all the work they do in public health as we celebrate National Public Health Week. I'm not seeing any other, no one wants to make any comments about the work they did on their bill, so I hope you will put that out in a press statement so we can get this out in the public. You know, I think that we get less attention than other committees, maybe because the work we do is so complex, it's hard to explain, but I think the people that benefit really do know all the great work we do. So thank you all. So tomorrow, the agenda will be to hopefully have fiscal staff here. We can take fiscal questions. We will bring an author's amendment that will be posted soon to add things that we were not able to get to the revisor on time, and we really needed to get this bill out and on the public. So there will be an author's amendment, and then we will take public testimony. So please contact Yingya Vang, our incredible committee administrator, if you would like to testify tomorrow. And with that, members, I will see everyone on the floor probably at noon, and see everyone else tomorrow in committee. Have a great rest of your day.